Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
Coast to coast, no matter what time zone you're in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed through a happy hump day right here on the Sports Map Radio Network, 800-224-2004. Call on the show, tell us what you like, tell us what you hate. Let's be real, you love everything about this programming, we know you do, trust me, we get it. But if you don't feel comfortable calling into the show, well, that's totally fine. Just give me a slide into the DMs at Mr. Cole Thompson and give me a follow on Twitter. The wonderful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Great hour planned ahead. Let's recap the start of Hard Knocks and why this season may actually be different than any other season that we've seen. I do believe that there is one team that needs to be considering Jimmy Garoppolo now more than ever. And, of course, we have a quarterback battle going on in the Queen City. Who reigns supreme as the king of Carolina? Plus, it is Wednesday, which means a buy or sell Heisman Trophy edition. Guys, I've told you from the get-go, this is an NFL college football show at its core. We're going to keep it going that way. Heisman voting always sells really well. Got to break down the buy or sell option. But I start the hour off today with this. I like to consider myself a very broad person or an expanded, knowledgeable person. I do my research. I sit down. I listen to things. I go ahead and try to figure out all the P's and Q's, try to dot my I's and cross my T's before ever making a statement because I don't want to feel foolish after I go ahead and make a statement. Now, here's the problem. Michael, I made a major mistake. I didn't realize this for a while. So, you know chickpeas? You've heard of chickpeas, right?
Probably.
Yeah, they're like the little balls that you usually make for hummus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, did you know that they're just garbanzo beans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I had this huge fear of beans. I don't know why, but ever since I was a little kid, beans have creeped me out. Outside of green beans. And I have given up on like eating garbanzo beans forever. And I love hummus. So I'm like, oh, chickpeas. They're the great thing. Oh, they're garbanzo beans. I'm so foolish. I hate life.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Why do we root for the underdog? And more specifically, why do we root for the fan favorite? 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Let's go ahead and talk about it. So, the return of Hard Knocks made its debut last night. This year, taking place in Allen Park, Michigan. The Detroit Lions, the focal point of this upcoming season. And I'll tell you what, when you go ahead and look, when you go ahead and break down the last couple of Hard Knock seasons, when you go ahead and compare what we've seen from last night's episode to years past, there was not a lot of hope going into this year. And I'll be the very first to admit this. I got bored the last two Hard Knocks. I did. I will gladly come out and say that. The Las Vegas Raiders were supposed to be a team. It was supposed to be an organization that had all these good storylines. You had the coup de grace of what you needed to bring with John Gruden to the table, Mike Mayock. They just had a very good rookie draft class with guys like Cleveland Farrell. They also had Max Crosby. They had Josh Jacobs. They brought in Vontaze Burfict. There was the Antonio Brown situation. All of this in 2019. There was potential for that to be an elite show. And you saw nothing. You saw it be micromanaged. You watched ownership come and take control. You watched as people that we knew were very different cats decided to purr a different tune. Well, things could change. Things could absolutely change. You got to go into a whole another year and get the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas America's team, the Dallas Cowboys on Hard Knocks? Oh, my God. Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott. You have questions at the defensive line. You're trying to get contract deals done. All these major moves. And nothing. Like, the most significant thing that I remember from Hard Knocks in 2021 was that Jerry Jones loves salt on his sausage McGriddle. By the way, do you know that he's a normal person, Michael? Ladies and gentlemen, do you know he's a normal guy? Just loves his sausage McGriddle? Billionaire guy. Loves McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. He's loving it. That's not the case this year. That's not okay. And why is it not the case? I will tell you why, ladies and gentlemen. 800-224-2004. Because if you want to root for the underdog, you want to root for those who have a voice that you probably won't hear in the major national spotlight. And this is the one opportunity where you get to see a more in-depth look at an organization that has its flaws, has its miscommunication, has its ups and downs, has had its trials and tribulations, but seems to be going in the right direction, even though it is taking time. When you look at the Detroit Lions for the last 25-plus years, they've been known for three things. Number one, inconsistent failures, because they bring in the right talent. I mean, you don't usually get a running back like Barry Sanders walking through that door. You don't usually get a wide receiver such as Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, who can transform into an all-pro from a young 19-year-old, 20-year-old coming out of Georgia Tech to an immediate superstar. That's why I call him Megatron. He's evil, and he's just like those Transformers. And you don't usually get quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford. They don't just grow on trees. Yet here we are watching them not only miss the playoffs almost every single year, but when they get to the playoffs and they seem to be going in the right direction, they find a way to mess it up. That's always been the case with a team like Detroit. Not only that, they find a way to mess it up with the coaching hires. I mean, you don't usually go get a guy like Jim Caldwell and watch him go above 500 for over half of his tenure and think afterward, we can do better. We can do better. Anyone remember Jim Caldwell's last season? 9-7, barely missed the playoffs. And ownership goes, no, Bob Quinn sit there. No, nah, bro. He don't work for us. Mm-mm. Not the guy, bro. And then what you do is you go get a backwards hat, pencil 11 guy who has been known for his success as a defensive coordinator where he doesn't even call the plays in Matt Patricia. And it arguably is the darkest moment in franchise history where players lose respect for you, where superstars want out, where the team is willing to sell after they fire him, and wins come in burst little to none. That's what you have with Matt Patricia. A guy who was highly respected and someone who a lot of people, yours truly, thought was actually going to end up working out as a head coach. Waited for the right opportunity, just didn't happen in Detroit. Never was going to, never can. So that's one. Number two, the other thing that we know about Detroit is they're a rebuilding franchise that consistently is rebuilding. You never see them take the right strides. You never see them find that balance. You never see them, even with good players, really elevate their overall game. They're just kind of there. And the last thing that we know about Detroit is that they're an organization that very few people talk about. National spotlight, it's the Rams. It's the Steelers. It's the Patriots. It's the Chargers. It's these grand cities or long-tenured franchises that have had immense success for years and years and years that take control. Pittsburgh, New England, even Chicago. I mean, Chicago's a major market city. We talk about them. Green Bay, L.A. We don't talk about Detroit because Detroit's just kind of there. They're in a big city, in the actual city of Detroit, but they're not really that relevant. Detroit is kind of on the smaller side, and the players are really not there, and the talent's really not there. But you get to see a little bit more of inside scoop of what you get in an organization that seems to be trending in the right direction. What's the one thing I always say on the show, ladies and gentlemen? You know what? It's three rules. Three very simple rules. Michael, would you like to remind the audience what are my very three simple rules when it comes to football?
You have to have the QB, owner, and head coach.
GM.
GM.
Yep. Right coach, right GM, right quarterback. Brad Holmes is the right GM. There's no denying that. The way that he has drafted and made suave, savvy deals in free agency for an organization that's trying to turn the corner. proves to me that he's the right GM. Not only has he landed really good players in the draft, like Aiden Hutchinson and Penei Sewell and Ayla McNeil and Derek Barnes and Jameson Williams, reaching a little bit, having to trade up, give up some draft capital, but moving up to go get their guy. But they also added in really smart players via free agency. You didn't get these long-term deals that you got with Bob Quinn, like a Halopi Halavata, 5 years, probably should have been worth three. You get these two-year deals with Deshaun Elliott, who's going to be a very, very, very good strong safety for this organization, opposite of a guy like Tracy Walker. And Walker's deal, I know a lot of people saying, oh, well, he's not a long-term option. You're right, he's probably not. But you know what I love about it? Is that the deal is very much in favor of Detroit after the season. He doesn't work out, you cut him, you cut your losses. Guess what? You're barely losing money in terms of dead weight. Dan Campbell's the right head coach. I don't think anybody's going to deny that anymore. It's not about the rah-rah-rah mentality because of, sure, we all want to have that. You need to have that at times. There's going to be coaches out there that are going to be really relying on the X's and O's, and there's going to be coaches out there that really rely on the schematic format, and then there's going to be coaches out there that just set the standard, let their offense coordinator do their offensive stuff, let the defense coordinator do their defensive stuff, and you just kind of be along for the process. But you set the team in motion with your attitude and with your work ethic. That is where Dan Campbell comes in. Dan Campbell is not micromanaging what Aaron Glenn does. He's not micromanaging what the offense does. He has a say in certain aspects of where the team is going, but his job is to set the tone before practice and get the best out of his players. And if you have not been paying attention, I'll tell you what, you could have been paying attention last year without watching a single bit of Hard Knocks. Those players that call the Motor City home, they would run through fire for that man. And the city of Detroit would run through fire for that man. And I'll tell you what, after last night, hearing some of the quotes, hearing his personality, his persona, his larger-than-life brand, his down-to-earth mentality, you would run through brick walls if that man said, how fast can you break the barrier? That is what you need in rebuilding teams. That is what you need on franchises that have to change the narrative. You need guys like that. People in your corner that when your backs are against the wall and they say, stay down, you have someone picking you up. That is what Dan Campbell has. I do not know if Jared Goff is the right quarterback, but I'll tell you what, they're setting up for the next one to come in and be successful. Good offensive line, potentially great weapons, getting guys like DJ Chark on a one-year deal. He has a really good year. You know they're going to extend him. Jameson Williams going to be healthy by midseason. Amon-Ra St. Brown, very valuable slot receiver. Josh Reynolds, who's worked extremely well with a guy like Jared Goff, could be a 1-2 combination. And the defense maybe is turning the corner with adding in a guy like Aiden Hutchinson or getting a middle linebacker like Malcolm Rodriguez, who nobody seems to be talking about. Go back and watch his film at Oklahoma State. He's an elite player, very talented guy. This is a turn of an era. And the one reason why Detroit works for a show like Hard Knocks versus a Las Vegas or versus a Dallas or versus a Rams or a Chargers, you're not going to be micromanaged. You're going to see what this organization is all about. You're going to get your full experience. You're going to be bought into the culture. This is why a team like Detroit works. You got to see exactly who the Detroit Lions are and where the Detroit Lions are headed. You get that in your back corner, you see the potential of what they bring any given Sunday, I promise you, you're going to be rooting for them. Detroit, by the season's end, by the series finale of this season, so I think it'll be September 7th, if I'm not mistaken, you will be a Detroit Lions fan. Right coach, right GM, right quarterback, but also right personality. Detroit has all that. Detroit has potentially all that, even with Jared Goff. But they certainly have three of those four. 75% there about being a really good franchise on the rise. Speaking of franchises on the rise, let's go ahead and talk about what franchise could be going after the likes of Jimmy Garoppolo. 800-224-2004. This segment brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. So, I've been looking around trying to figure out what's the best home for Jimmy G. There's two that really come to mind for very different reasons. Number one is the Cleveland Browns, but that's entirely based on the Deshaun Watson situation. This is a team that can absolutely win right now. Good enough defense. We're really not talking about the secondary. John Johnson's going to have a rebounding year. Denzel Ward is arguably a top 10 corner right now. And I think Greg Newsome, a guy that I was very high on, for those of you who've been listening to the show since last September, I said that this was my favorite corner in last year's draft class, not named J.C. Horn. He's having a breakout year. You have some wide receivers. You have some tight ends. You have a great rushing attack. And you have a balanced offensive line. If you cannot win with Jacoby Brissett, that's understandable. Jimmy Garoppolo is a much better option than Jacoby Brissett. So why not bring him in if you can work out a deal to where San Francisco's paying for at least, I'd say, half of Jimmy Garoppolo's contract. But the other team to keep a close eye on, the New York Giants. Guys, I can tell you right now, when you compare Tua Tagovailoa and Daniel Jones going into this season as prove-it years, Tua doesn't have to prove one thing, accuracy. Since his high school days, he's been an elite accurate quarterback. 69%, 71%, 73%, 75% completion rating. He knows how to move the ball. He knows how to find his target. Daniel Jones has always had flaws when it came to accuracy. He's always had his down moments when it comes to that. And there's wide receivers in the building, such as Kenny Galladay, such as Wandale Robinson, such as Kadarius Toney, that absolutely can stretch the field and make you a viable option, at least in the passing attack. The offensive line seems to be at least moving towards a better direction with guys like Evan Neal playing right tackle and Andrew Thomas coming on strong late last season on the left side. The interior offensive line seems to be getting in the right direction. And the addition of what you brought with Wink Martindale for Brian Daboll's defense, I think will benefit. I think it will benefit a lot of people on the staff. And you play in a very winnable division in the NFC East. If the right deal comes along, to get Jimmy G in Big Blue, and you believe that you're Brian Daboll, you can win with him, with Mike Kafka as your offensive coordinator, I'd make a phone call. I really would. And Joe Shane should not be afraid to do it, because Jimmy Garoppolo gives you a fighting chance, something that Daniel Jones, very early on in training camp, and I know it's training camp, but he's proven already it's very hard to do. Coming up next, let's talk about the battle between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield in Carolina. Who reigns supreme in the Queen City going into 2022? We'll talk about that right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with their auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best price unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family, the network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required, unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible for only select promotions, include domestic talk, text, and data usage only, data roaming at 2G speeds.
For us, you know, we understand the situation. You know, this is quarterback competition, and at the end of the day, you know, we both want to be the starter, and we're just going to both put ourselves in a good position to try to be that guy for the team.
That being Sam Darnold of the Carolina Panthers talking about his future as potentially QB1 in the Queen City. 800-224-2004, call on the show. Let's go ahead and talk about it. So we know what we're going to get with Sam Darnold. We know what Sam Darnold is going to do with this offense. And how do we know that? Because it's a very similar offense to what was ran last season when Darnold was the starting quarterback. Sure, they upgraded the offensive line, bringing in guys such as Bradley Bozeman from the Baltimore Ravens, adding in Austin Corbett from the Los Angeles Rams, getting Akeem Okwunu from North Carolina State, a very, very talented offensive lineman, arguably I thought was the most complete offensive lineman in this year's class. And they do have a a little bit more depth when it comes to wide receiver. You know, they are going to have a full year of Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, and I think there's going to be a breakout with Terrace Marshall Jr. I really liked him coming out of LSU. And maybe the tight end position is going to be a little bit better with the likes of a guy such as Tommy Tremble, a former third-round pick, or potentially Ian Thomas. And you're hopefully going to get a healthy Christian McCaffrey, which at the time last year, before he was, you know, injured for the rest of the season, Darnold was playing extremely well with him. But you know what you're getting. You know you have a guy who is erratic at best when it comes to his decision-making. You know you're getting a guy who is inconsistent when it comes to his timing. His throws can sometimes be rushed. And even though he has the mechanics to be a very successful quarterback in the NFL, I'll be the very first to admit this. Talent-wise, Sam Darnold is not the worst. But when it comes to decision-making, X-factors, vision, accuracy, poise in the pocket, you know, awareness, all these other little aspects of what it takes to play quarterback, not arm talent, not velocity, not actual physical strength. Yeah, Sam Darnold absolutely is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. You know what you're getting in Sam Darnold. And so whatever you're going to do, you're going to pay your bang for your buck, and you're just going to have to call it a day. With Baker Mayfield, there's a lot of questions, but at the same time, there's also a lot of upside. So Baker, number one, was last season the best Baker's going to be moving forward because the NFL figured him out, or was he injured? Remember that last season in week two against the Houston Texans, he throws an interception. I think it's to Justin Reed, if I'm not mistaken. And instead of letting an offensive lineman go ahead and make the tackle, or giving up a touchdown, or letting a wide receiver do it, Baker decides to deliver the blow. And that hurts his non-throwing shoulder. And I don't know about you guys, but when you're moving, your entire upper body feels it. So when I'm lifting weights, if I'm doing a one-arm curl with my left arm, my right arm's still feeling it. Because if I can feel the nerves pushing against it. So every single throw that's coming out of Baker's hands, he's feeling it in his non-throwing shoulder. And that does factor in to the trajectory, the ball placement, the timing, the accuracy, all these little minute areas to where Baker struggled last year. Could that be the main reason why? Because you know that the velocity is there. You know the zip on the ball can fly. You know he can move it down the field. You know his decision-making is extremely potent. And we've seen him play with lesser talent. Odell Beckham, and again, when Odell Beckham Jr. was on Cleveland, it didn't work. But the second that OBJ got hurt in Week 7, surprisingly, really surprisingly, against the Carolina Panthers, you watched as things just turned the corner for Baker and this offense with guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones, Rashad Higgins, who was added this offseason to Carolina. Yeah, Rashad Higgins. So he was a very good receiver with, I believe it was Harrison Bryant at tight end. It wasn't the main core guys. So Baker upgrades. I mean, this honestly could be the most complete core that Baker has with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, with a very good Chuba Hubbard, who isn't, you know, the same as Kareem Hunt, but a very serviceable number two, with Tommy Tremble at tight end, with DJ Moore, with Terrace Marshall Jr., with Rashad Higgins, with Robbie Anderson, with a more balanced offensive line. The line does take a step back compared to what you have in Cleveland, but it should be improved compared to last season. And last season, this was a bottom three offensive line in the NFL, like, period. As long as you're not seeing regression from guys like Corbett, who didn't work anywhere else besides Los Angeles, and as long as Akeem Okwuanu can come in and make an impact right away, whether that be at guard or left tackle or right tackle, I think you're going in the right direction. But there's one more thing that we'll take in mind. Baker Mayfield gives you something that no one else does. He gives you that fire. He gives you that drive. He gives you that tenacity. And he lights it underneath your keister to where you may not buy in, but you're invested at least to see the potential. In week one, as of today, it's Jacoby Brissett versus insert quarterback here. You want to start the season off on a right note. I'll tell you what. Losing in week one doesn't always mean that you're going to be a losing franchise, but it does set you in the right direction moving forward. And Baker, against Carolina, with Carolina, against his former team, sells ratings, talks volume. And there's going to be a little bit more tenacity and a little bit more drive in a guy like him, because if you're trying to figure out if he's the real asset, and also he's trying to prove to Cleveland he belongs in the NFL. The bottom line is that you have no idea what you're getting with Baker. You do it with Sam. Let's go!
Just Saying It continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Time to find out what Cole's buying.
You bought it.
That's right, I bought it.
And selling.
Sell.
In the world of sports.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Here's Cole Thompson with Buy or Sell.
I'll be the very first to admit that I am a college football aficionado. I'm not a college football casual. I like to go ahead and cover every single aspect about the sport throughout the offseason. And trust me, if you're like me, you already know where this is going. Heisman voting. Already a subject of conversation. 800-224-2004. Let's go ahead and talk about it. So this season, more than ever, it feels like a wide open race. But at the same time, it could be as simple as literally just, well, you know what? Let's get a repeat. We have not seen a back-to-back Heisman Trophy champion since the 1970s when Archie Griffin of Ohio State did it as the only player in the history of the sport to accomplish the feat. Could Bryce Young at Alabama be that guy? Maybe. But who is his main competition? And that's what we're here to talk about. So, for those of you wondering, do I buy that Bryce Young could absolutely repeat as Heisman Trophy number one winner? Yes, I do. Without question. I'm not going to deny it. The weapons on the team, the offensive line, the schedule, the school, all of it. Yeah, he absolutely can repeat. So, I'm not going to waste a lot of time talking about a guy that you know everything about. What I am going to do is I'm going to talk about the level of competition opposite him. And the people who he is going up against. So here we go. Buy or sell college football potential Heisman Trophy candidates for 2022. Here we go.
Ohio State QB CJ Stroud.
Oh, buy. 100%. Listen, when you bring back Jackson Smith Njigba, and you also bring back Marvin Harrison Jr., plus you have a good running back in Travion Henderson that you can dump the ball off to, and last season, you threw for over 4,400 passing yards, 44 touchdowns, against 6 interceptions, and you led the FBS in QBR rating of 96.1, plus you finished with a passer rating of 186.6. There's no denying that you could absolutely be effective. Now, I do want to see who takes that role as the number 3 receiver, because you did lose your tight end as well in Jeremy Ruckert, but when you have a receiver like Smith Njigba, when you have a receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr., and when potentially you have a guy such as Amika Ugbuka, who didn't do a lot, but he averaged 21.2 yards per reception, that at least sets you in the right direction. Plus, on top of that, the offensive line, I think, is going to be fine. I'm nervous about the defense, but they did bring in Jim Knowles. I think there's a lot of potential for C.J. Stroud to not only be the number one overall pick in this year's draft, but the only reason why Alabama does not win a national title in 2022. Because if I do believe that going into this year, the biggest threat is Ohio State, in large part due to number 7 being under center.
Clemson QB, DJ Uiagalelei.
I sell. And the main reason I sell is because of, there's two reasons I sell. Number one, last year, the guy threw more interceptions than touchdowns. So that's a major problem to me and a huge red flag to anybody out there. The other thing is that he finished in the bottom half of QBR in passer rating. Last season, in his lone year as a starter, finished with a 108.7. In the NFL, that's fine. In college football, that is low, baby. And that's low for even really good quarterbacks. Like, I'm not talking about programs that have established. I'm talking about, like, just average quarterbacks. That's so low. The other thing you have to keep in mind, the receiving core is good, but no one really separated themselves last year. Justin Ross, he finished with the team high, 514 yards. Joseph Ngata, who's going to be, I think, a senior this year. Yeah, he finished with only 438 passing yards. You also had Bro Collins. I think he's going to be a sophomore, if I'm not mistaken. He finished with like 31 catches and like 3 touchdowns. But no one really took those necessary steps. And I'm not sure that Uiagalelei is going to be able to do that once again. Instead, I think you have a better opportunity for more production from Cade Klubnik at this point, the freshman from Austin Westlake. And to me, that's going to be the main factor. If there is an option from Clemson to win the Heisman this year, I'll go Will Shipley. And even that's a little bit rich, because Shipley had a really good year last year. 149 carries, 739 yards, 5 yards per rush, 11 touchdowns. And you also had Kobe Pace in the backfield. And Kobe Pace last year finished with 6.2 yards per carry and he was a junior, and he would have taken more reps, I think, if he did not get injured. So, to me, the running backs offer more value than I think the quarterback. I'm going to sell DJ Uiagalelei. Like.
Oklahoma QB, Dillon Gabriel.
I buy, but here's the reason I buy. It's not because of the personnel around him. I buy because of his consistency with offensive coordinator Jeff Levy. I've talked about this before on the show. I'll continue to talk about it on the show. To me, when you have good balance of either a head coach and a quarterback or an offense coordinator and a quarterback, it makes the transition wherever you are move almost seamlessly. Jeff Levy worked with Dillon Gabriel after Mackenzie Milton went down at UCF, and because of the success the two had, it ended up being the reason Lane Kiffin called Levy to go to Oxford and coach at Hotty Toddy. So now that he returns to his alma mater, and he has experience, and he's worked alongside Gabriel, there's that level of consistency to where he knows what plays work, what plays don't, what areas he needs to improve on, where are some strengths, where are some weaknesses. That benefits Gabriel so much so that it's going to help out his numbers. His production is going to increase. His number to touchdown to interception ratio should also increase. It also should be diminished on the turnover side. There's a lot of potential, and they play in the Big 12, which means a whole bucket load of absolute games of 300-plus passing yards. That's going to boost the stat line. The production is going to be incredibly high. Very good receivers, Marvin Mims, Theo Weiss, Eric Gray out of the backfield. Very, very, very good running back that we have not talked about enough this offseason. I think there's potential for him to win the Heisman. I really do. I'm not a fan, usually, of transfer quarterbacks coming in and winning the Heisman in year one. I think that you get a pass with Dillon Gabriel because of his success working alongside Jeff Levy in UCF.
Alabama running back Jahmyr Gibbs.
I sell. I do. And the main reason why is because of you look at this history of the award, it's got to go to a player that's getting like 2,000 yards. And especially when you look at the running back position, like, do you remember when Derrick Henry won the Heisman Trophy? He was so dominant. Like, he was like leading the country in yards after contact. And he also was leading in yards per play. And I think it was like Christian McCaffrey, or there was another running back in between those two who finished second. And it was like a full yard behind everyone else, both in yards after contact and yards per play. Like, Henry just was on a new level. And a guy like Gibbs is going to be effective. The last season, he averaged 5.2 yards per play and 746 yards as a rusher. He also, as a receiver, finished with 470 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he just got a little bit over 1,200 yards. And with all the mouths to feed, with guys like Ja'Cory Brooks and guys like Tyler Harrell and Jermaine Burton and Cameron Lautu, and whoever else you're going to add into that offense with Bryce Young, it just feels like Gibbs is going to be an elemental X factor to the team being very successful in the long run of making it to the college football playoff, but not individually as a Heisman. He reminds me so much of Alvin Kamara, and Alvin Kamara elevates your roster. He doesn't elevate his initial production, so I sell.
Florida QB Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I sell this one, guys. I'm sorry. Listen, I believe Anthony Richardson has the potential to be an extremely talented quarterback. The one thing you have to love about his overall game is, number one, he's mobile, and number two, he's physical. Guy is 6'4", 232 pounds, can move like a Mack truck, will bulldoze the ever-living crap out of you to fight his way into the end zone. Last season, averaged 7.9 yards per run, but we did this last year with Emory Jones. Everyone and their mother. Emory Jones, first-round pick. Emory Jones, top 10 selection. Emory Jones, Emory Jones, Emory Jones. Like, that was the whole case. Until I see it from Anthony Richardson going into the season, and he has a very big test week one against Utah. I think you all know how big I am on Utah going into this year. I can't buy into Anthony Richardson winning the Heisman. I just can't. I'm sorry.
Alabama edge, Will Anderson.
Yeah, bye. Again, this was should have been the pick. Like, I love Bryce Young. I do. And as an Alabama alum, I will say that the only player who probably deserved it more than Bryce Young at quarterback was either Mac Jones in his stellar season in 2020, but because Jalen Waddle was injured, his production limited while Devonta Smith raised, and Tua Tagovailoa. I still believe that Tua got screwed out of the Heisman over Kyler Murray at times. I will. And that may be a homer take a little bit, but at the same time, you look at his numbers, they were great. The only other player that I've ever once said has been this much snubbed in the history of the sport is Will Anderson. Compare him to Aiden Hutchinson last year. More tackles for losses, more sacks, more pressures, more QB hits. But because of course, they already had a representative from Alabama, and the guy was going to win it, I think everyone knew that, they decided to vote for Aiden Hutchinson, who did have a stellar year. I'm not denying that. I'm not saying that what he did was not worthy of being in New York. What I'm saying is, Will Anderson belonged there. Will Anderson is a monster. Will Anderson, in my opinion, is the best player in college football. And Will Anderson has the potential to be one of the greatest defensive players we have ever seen grace the gridiron at the collegiate level with this upcoming season. He 100% should be in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy, and he honestly should be a front runner. Like, he should be a lot higher than what Vegas is putting him at.
Pitt QB, Keaton Slovis.
So, and the main reason why, it's not against Keaton Slovis, it's against the overall offensive personnel. When you look last season at how Bryce Young won the Heisman, take a look at his numbers. Over 4,000 passing yards, over 40-plus touchdowns. And Keaton Slovis last year threw for 2,100, 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And when you look at Pitt's roster, they lost Jordan Addison, which is a huge downfall for this organization. They also don't have, they have Jared Wayne coming back, which is good. But they also don't have, I think, a Tazeer Mack is also gone. I think he finished last year third on the team in receptions. And Lucas Kroll, who was a very good tight end, is now playing with the New Orleans Saints. It's not the same roster that Pitt had last year that Kenny Pickett needed to go to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. It's a little bit of a different balance. Losing Jordan Addison hurts. I sell with Keaton Slovis.
USC QB Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I buy. And again, the reason I buy is very similar to the reason I buy with Dylan Gabriel. It's the level of consistency of what you have with Lincoln Riley. The second Lincoln Riley said, I am leaving Oklahoma to go out west, it was very clear that Caleb Williams was going to follow. And because he went and followed, he also was able to convince certain players to join him. This is a year that now features Jordan Addison playing out in USC as the team's number one. They also have Brennan Rice, the son of Jerry Rice, who had a very successful career in Colorado. Play the perimeter as the team's number two. And you brought over Mario Williams, a very good slot receiver, who's going to fill in at the number three. So as long as the offensive line can protect Caleb Williams for longer than 3 seconds in a very, I wouldn't say easy, but I would say balanced Pac-12, you got your guy. Like, you know what you have. And without question, in my opinion, you're set going into the season. So I 100% buy because of the consistency factors of what he has with Lincoln Riley. Caleb Williams is, without question, a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Kentucky QB, Will Levis.
No, I sell. Again, this is one of those situations where it's two things. Number one, you're getting a new offensive coordinator. As much as I think that Liam Cohen and Rich Scalia run the very similar style of offense, it's not. They are different. And number two, Kentucky is losing its go-to receiver in Wandale Robinson from a season ago. You have to replace that production. Chris Rodriguez on the ground is coming back, which is going to be beneficial. But, you know, is Josh Ali going to be able to step up even though... Oh, wait, no, Josh Ali's gone. I completely spaced on that. Is Isaiah Epps going to be able to step up? Who's another player that's going to be able to take those necessary processes? There aren't that many balanced receivers. When you don't have that type of personnel, it doesn't really work. I don't see it happening for Will Levis.
Louisville QB, Malik Cunningham.
No, sell again. This is another situation where I think you're going to be too run-oriented. There's not enough receivers. Tyler Harrell, who was a vertical presence for this Cardinals offense last year, transferred to Alabama in the offseason. So they don't have the weapons. They don't have a 1-2 combination in the passing attack. It's very hard to buy into just a mobile quarterback. Because even when Lamar Jackson won it, he won it because of his legs. But if you watched him pass, he had three receivers that went for like over 750 yards and averaged like 13.2 yards per play. So there's potential there, but I just don't see it. I think we have time for two quick ones real fast.
USC wide receiver Jordan Addison.
Sell, but the main reason I sell is because there's too many mouths to feed. Mario Williams is going to see his reps. Brennan Rice is going to see his reps. Travis Dye out of the backfield, the 1,000-yard rusher for Oregon, he's going to see his reps. And I think Addison's probably going to get 1,300 yards, but that's probably it. I don't think that's enough to go ahead and put him in the same category as Devonta Smith.
And Nebraska QB, Casey Thompson.
I buy, but the reason I buy is because I think when you look at what Casey Thompson can do, he has a receiver joining him from the likes of Texas in Kelvonte Dixon, which is really big. They also brought back both their starting tight ends, and they have some. They also have their number two receiver coming back. So there's potential there. I think at least there's that going for Casey Thompson. Not spying it, but not selling it either. They have it. Buy or sell Heisman Trophy edition for the 2022 season right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Yeah, it's time to start considering Shohei Ohtani one of the greatest baseball players of all time, or at least of this generation, because last night, after hitting yet another towering home run, he moves into second place all time among Japanese hitters in home runs. The guy's been in the MLB for, I think, four seasons now. And he already has 118 home runs. You know who was in second place before that? Ichiro. You know how long Ichiro played in the MLB? 15 plus years. And in 4 years, Ohtani has already surpassed that marker. And he's only continuing to develop. And he's still super young. He's 28 years old. This is a guy that could be around for another 15 years if he stays healthy. And he can pitch as well. So when I look at this, the reason why we talk about Shohei Ohtani as a difference maker and in that same realm as Babe Ruth is because he technically is.